Hi, and thanks for listening to another audio podcast from Creekside Community Church, Narangba, Queensland. For more information and resources, please visit our website at www.creekside.org.au.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are present with us today, Lord. Thank you that when we speak your name, there is healing, there is power. Lord, we just want to praise your name this morning. We thank you for the season of Christmas, the greatest message to all the world that you have come. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Take a seat, everyone. And kids, we are so glad that kids get to join us in our services. Kids, are you enjoying coming, being part of the whole service? Yes? Well, look, I know it sometimes might be a little bit long, but we have a few activities. So if you want a few activities, just go to the back there. There's some colouring in. There's a challenge there I want to talk to you about. So if you want to go quietly, calmly, is that possible? Go to the back. There's a few people to hand out a little pack there. Some colouring in, some challenges. Because we would love for you to be a part of this service, part of worshipping with us, and part of hearing God's word as well. Once they've got their packages, I'm going to explain a little bit to those who are listening, kids. On one of those packages, there's a little bit of a challenge for you all. So there's a couple of words that I'm going to be saying quite a bit in my message this morning. And one of those words is Emmanuel. So I want you to keep an eye, your ear open, and just hear. When I say Emmanuel, you've got to circle one of those little presents on your sheet. And there's another phrase I'm going to say, and it's God with us. And also, look what I've got here. Lollies. This is for a prize for those who can count how many times I've said Emmanuel and God with us. Can you keep an eye on that, kids? So keep an eye when I say Emmanuel and God with us, and there's some lollies. Now, one more thing I would like, a child who can read really well, and I know all of you can, I've got a little prize. You can pick a lolly out of here if you want to come up and read the Bible reading for this morning. Who would like to do that? Who have we got? Who have we got? Who would like to do it? Jack, did I see your hand up? How about you come up here, Caleb? Come up here. Give him a round of applause. Here you go, buddy. Could you read that out for us and where it's from?
This verse is from Matthew 1:18-23. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not waiting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid and take Mary as your wife, because she has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give from their sins." And now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord, "Though the prophet, see, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us."
Well done. Good job. Good job, Caleb. Great. Great reading there, mate. Now, how about we just pray to the Lord before we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time we can come together, Lord, that we can hear from your word. Thank you for our children that can read from your word and hear and know the truth, that your goodness and your presence with us is for everyone and even for these little ones. We thank you so much. Lord, we pray as we hear your word and we hear what you have to say to us today, that you will speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we've heard this story many times, right? Every Christmas comes around, we read the same stories. And sometimes I think we may lose the significance of what it really means for that unique word, Emmanuel, God with us. And we're going to spend 15, 20 minutes on one word. Now, I know you're probably thinking, we're going to talk about one word for 20 minutes? But this one word, many people have spent their whole lives trying to understand and grasp what is the real meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. And it's become such a given that we hear this name, right? We hear it in the songs that we sing. We hear it all the time. And as it was said in that passage, it says it's translated into the three English words, God with us. So we're going to look at those three words. The first one is God. I'll put that up on the screen there. Actually, I've got the buzzer, so that's me. First one is God. God with us. God. Think about that for a moment. The word God. This is the simple and most profound meaning of Christmas, right? That the baby born on Christmas is God. Jesus is God. The creator, king of the whole universe, has become a human being. That's the message of Christmas. That's the ultimate message, that God became a human being. And all the messages of generosity, of love, joy, peace, peace on earth, all of that flows out of this message that Jesus is God. And it's clear through the whole Bible that this is what it's saying, that Jesus is God. And in this passage, even in the very first story where we're introduced to Jesus, it says that he is God. And Matthew is pointing to a prophecy that Isaiah, he said 700 years before Jesus was born, he said, there will be a son, there will be a child that will be born, and this child will be called Emmanuel, God with us. This is the claim of the Bible, all throughout the Bible. And at the beginning of another gospel, I think I read it a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching as well, it says in the Gospel of John, in the very first verse, it says, in the beginning was the Word, which is Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing makes sense about Christianity unless Jesus is God. Without Jesus being God, the message of Christmas loses its meaning and its power. Why is this so important? Why is it so important that Jesus born on Christmas Day is God? Now, here's an example. We had a great time for those youth that are here tonight. We had a great time on Tuesday night, and I was talking to one of the youth boys. We had a conversation, and just randomly he said, in the conversation, he came up, he just said, oh, the Will Smith slap. Does anyone know what the Will Smith slap is? Yeah, a lot of people know, a lot of the young people know what the Will Smith slap is. And at the Oscars last year, Chris Rock was hosting, and he made a joke about Will Smith's wife, and Will Smith walked up on stage, live on TV, and slapped him across the face. It probably will go down in history as the most disgraceful live TV moment, right? Now, if in that moment Denzel Washington went up to Will and said, I forgive you, Will, you are forgiven, there would be, both Chris and Will would look at Denzel Washington and go, how can you forgive Will? Only Chris can forgive Will of what he's done. You can only forgive a wrong done against you if it's done against you. You can only forgive sin if it's done against you. We know that. Kids, you know that, right? But Jesus did this. He said to the paraplegic, he said in Matthew chapter 9, he says, your sins are forgiven. How can Jesus forgive sins unless he means that every sin is against him? The first century Jews listening to him say this, they knew that all of us have sinned against God, our Creator. And by doing wrong against even each other, we are sinning against God. And only God can forgive sins. Jesus was doing only what God could do. Forgive sins and being our Savior from the consequences of our sins. That's why this is so important to the Christian and the Christmas message. Without Jesus being God, he cannot be our Savior. And we sing this every Christmas, right? Many of us don't even realize sometimes, you hear it in the shops, and many people who may not You know, you might be here today for the first time and you've heard this song before, O Silent Night. It is the night of our dear Saviour's birth. The night when our God, our Creator, became a human being. Jesus is God. That's the first point. Jesus is God. And what's the second word there? God with. God with us. What does it mean for God to be with us? The presence of God being present with his people. Isn't that an incredible thought? The whole biblical narrative of the story of humanity is essentially about this. As about how we, as God's people, have lost his presence. It's threaded throughout the Bible about the restoration of us with him. The restoring of God's presence with his people. Restoring God with us. Right from the beginning of all creation, God created the world for people to enjoy him, to joy and dwell with him. But humanity, we know, has disobeyed against God. We've disobeyed against him. We've rebelled against him. We've severed that relationship between us and our Creator. And it meant the presence of this holy, good, and perfect God could not dwell with his people because of our sin. And throughout this narrative, it's amazing how you look at the patterns throughout the narrative of the Bible. And after the, but when you get to the point between after the creation story and before the moment that Jesus enters the scene of this story, whenever you have the presence of God, it's described as a terrifying thing. Absolutely terrifying. When Job saw God, it was this violent tornado of wind, a terrifying storm. And it says, there's a verse that says, the thunder declares the presence of God. When he appeared to Moses and his people, the Israelites, it was this pillar of fire. So wind and fire. To be in the presence of God was terrifying. Fire, tornado, or such a bright light of glory, you couldn't even look at it. So holy and perfect and pure that we can't stand in the presence of God. We can't even see his face. Moses tried. He said to God, please let me see your glory. And God replied, you cannot see my face, for humans cannot see me and live. But it wasn't always like this in the narrative of the Bible. At the very beginning in the garden, God dwelt with his creation and people in a relational way. It says that God walked with them. But as the story continues, there was a breaking of this close and intimate relationship between God and his people because of sin. A barrier between the two had come. And because of this barrier, that is why it's terrifying to be in the presence of God. To see his face, we would surely die. And as there is this mark of sin on our hearts, a holy God cannot dwell with us. That's the bad news. But as you continue through the narrative, we see God choose a people and he chose a way in which he could reconcile with his people. And God had instructed the people of Israel to build a tabernacle, which is like a tent, where the God's presence could dwell, and that tent was designed in a way that actually replicated the Garden of Eden, where he walked and he was present with his people. And later the temple was then built in the same way as the tabernacle, but this temple was designed and the sacrificial rituals that they had to do to come in the presence of God was only a temporary fix. It wasn't something that, it was a picture that was pointing to a permanent way that he was restoring the Garden of Eden to all of humanity, to all of us, restoring his presence with him. And this is where the Christmas story enters, this amazing story where Jesus actually brings the presence of God in a new and in a real way. He presents himself as that true temple, declaring that through the sacrifice of his innocent life on the cross and him raising from the dead, the problem of that sin barrier was dealt with once for all, and God's presence was restored. Wow. God with us is restored. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. Not like a not in a terrifying way, but in close and intimate way. Now, kids, listen up. I've got your attention. Who likes to go camping? Got a few hands. Adults, who likes going camping? A lot of adults like camping. I love going camping. Maybe not so much my wife. I love going camping. We love to camp, but we're not really set up for camping. And sometimes when we go camping, we did this recently with some friends. We went camping a couple months ago with some friends. And what I found is that the friendship that we had went on such a deeper level, because what we did is we pitch up our tents, we're caravans, we're in this nice little circle, we're enjoying each other's company. We're talking about conversations of life, about being parents, about the struggles that we're having, struggles that we're facing. And it's one thing for us to see these friends on a Sunday. We're in the general presence of them. Yes, we see them weekly. But it's another thing. It's another level to go camping with each other, because you're really just in each other's lives. And it's a joy because you get to know each other really well. And that's the same thing with God and with Jesus. It actually says this in John 1, verse 14, where it says, the Word, which was God, became flesh, became human. So God became a human and dwelt amongst us. It says dwelt. And that word dwelt literally means to tabernacle, or which means to pitch a tent. So God literally pitched a tent with us. He is dwelling with us in this intimate way through Jesus that it's never seen before, in this relational way. And on Christmas, God came down. He became like us. He pitched his tent amongst us and he dwelt amongst his people. The message of Christmas is that God is with us through the person of Jesus. What a beautiful thing. Because he has taken away the one thing that would make us fear God. He has taken away the terror it is for you and for me to actually, as sinners, come into the holy presence of a holy and perfect God. He's taken away that fear. So now, let me just finish on this one point. The last word in that phrase, God with us. The last word is us. God with us. Now, this word is a limiting term. It's exclusive. And it's something that a lot of people have a problem with Christianity, because we say we're exclusive. It doesn't say God with all. Why doesn't it say God with all? Who is this us? Is it some super spiritual, super moral group of people who have earned this right to be in the presence of God? No, we've already seen that. We've all sinned. We all need a Savior. No one can earn their way into the presence of God. So who is this us? Who does God come to be with? It is those who have humbly received the message of Jesus, the Christmas message, the message that we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Now, if I stop that sentence there, we could go away very down. But I'm not going to finish, because that is not where the message finishes. So if we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever did believe, yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted through Jesus Christ than we ever did hoped. It's exclusive. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The us is those who say there is nothing I can bring to God to restore that relationship with him. Not my good works, not my achievements. If we come to God like that, we'll be turned away. Why? Because if we want God to be with us, we can't come with references. We come with nothing. Humbly come to God and he will say this, I can't, God, but you can. I can't, but Jesus can. I cannot and have not lived the perfect life without sin, but Jesus, you have. You've done it for me. Jesus lived the life that I couldn't live, and he died the death that I deserve and you deserve. He did it in my place, and I come to God with nothing. All I need is nothing, and Jesus gives me everything. Jesus gives me the presence of the God, the creator of all things. Will you say yes to God being with you today? God being with you today. Will you humbly receive this Christmas message? Many of you have, but you might not have ever done that before. I just want to challenge you to think through that. Will you say yes to God being with us? Say, yes, I'm a sinner. I can't do this on my own. And for those who have received this good news, which is many of us, we need a reminder that God is with us, because we have humbly received this message of Christmas, but do we really, and I question myself every day, do I really live in this truth? Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit, God, would be with us. When he ascended into heaven, he says this in John 14:16, he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Are we living in that truth that Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to be with us? Does our lives reflect the reality that the Holy Spirit, the God of the universe, is with us? You and I are now the temple of God. Wow. The one that created the universe with a snap of his fingers has come down to dwell with us. The Holy Spirit dwells within you and has the power to overcome all of our struggles, all of our challenges in our life. But do we surrender to him every day? Do we do that? Do we say on a daily basis, I can't, but you can? This is Christian living in the Spirit. I can't, but you can. So whatever's going on in your life, God's bigger than that. It is not bigger for him. Don't ever think that God is not with you through your sufferings, through your struggles. He is. God is with you. He came down from the highest of places. He came down from heaven to be a servant. He humbled himself, was tortured. He died on a cross that you and I don't have to. God is with us. That's the message of Christmas. That's what it means, the word Emmanuel. It's a beautiful word. And don't miss this meaning of Christmas, please, that the creator of the universe has become a human being. This means that the terrifying God that has appeared in the Old Testament as a whirlwind and fire has become a vulnerable baby. He lived the perfect life and sacrificed his life to remove that barrier between us and him so that we can be with our Heavenly Father. That's what it means to be God with us. That's the beautiful message of Christianity, the beautiful message of Christmas. And if this is the first time you have ever heard that, I just encourage you, I mean, after the service, come and speak to one of us. We'd love to pray with you. If you've been a believer a long time and you feel like God's presence is not with me, we want to pray with you and ask the Spirit to just take lordship over your life. So I encourage you to do that. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are good, that you have made a way, Lord, that we look through the Old Testament of this picture of you bringing the Lamb of God on this as a sacrifice for our sins. We thank you, God. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you for the Christmas message that God is with us. Lord, we humbly lay our lives down to you and say, we cannot do this without you. I cannot. I've sinned against my Creator, the one who loves me, the one who made me. I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry, God. Forgive me of my sins. Restore my relationship with you, that we may be with you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the way you have loved us so sacrificially. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.